Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast, Season 2, Episode 2, in 2 weeks in a row to kick off the new season. And as promised, just going to kind of tread lightly in the offseason here, dropping one episode a week, giving you guys a little something, a little nugget of golf stuff going on here in Michigan and for me. And this week, we're going to touch on a couple of things. One, I've got the entire new line of TaylorMade equipment. Fully stocked, ready to go. If you've been tuning in, I got my first fitting event this weekend over at Golf Galaxy. And I say fitting event, but this one, Saturday the 23rd here in Grand Rapids at the Golf Galaxy. It's going to be part fitting event and part product launch, because if you follow this stuff as closely as I do, I kind of like to nerd out on equipment and gear and what's new for the year. Today was TaylorMade's product launch, effectively. So all of the new SIV stuff, all of the new drivers, the fairway woods, the hybrids, the irons, you probably saw a ton of things online. All the guys on YouTube are kicking out new videos, doing product reviews and comparisons and stuff like that. So we'll touch on that, share a little bit about the SIV 2 line, at least the drivers. We'll talk about that today. Kind of give you my initial thoughts and observations. I have not hit them yet, so we're just going to go purely on technology and stuff like that. But then I figured we'd also touch on Tiger Woods, because apparently he had a back surgery. And typical Tiger. I mean, you know he's going to do that. He's off season. He's going to have a back surgery. He's not going to tell anybody until it's necessary. And apparently that was today. So today being Tuesday, as I'm recording this, this is going live to you guys on Wednesday. So we'll talk that. And then upcoming podcasts. I've got Brittany Gilo of Gilo Golf and a cardio golf instructor here in West Michigan. She's going to be coming on the podcast in the coming weeks. We're going to record something really cool for you guys. We've jumped on a phone call together, had a good brainstorming session, talked about a lot of cool stuff. So looking forward to getting that recorded for you. And since we're talking golf, what the heck, it's the American Express this week out in La Quinta, California. It's early season stuff. I haven't really tuned in a ton, so I don't know who's playing. I don't know what's going on yet, but I'm taking a quick look at the guys teeing it up this week, and what the heck, maybe I'll throw a pick your guys' way, see what's going on. But anyway, you know the drill. As always, grab the ad. When we come back, we'll talk golf. Awesome, everyone. Welcome back. Thanks for breaking for the ad, as always. And before we get into the real meat and potatoes of this podcast and talk golf, I gotta go off on a little side tangent here, tell you guys a little story. So today I was on the phone with my mom. Her and my dad are down in Florida, spending some time with my grandparents down there. And so my mom listens to my podcast, and I think that's awesome. She's been obviously a part of my golf life for a long time. She's been a part of my life since I was born, I guess. Part of my golf life, essentially, since I started playing. But she used to come to all my high school events, came to a lot of my college tournaments, still comes to some of the stuff I play in locally and when it works out. But so we're talking podcast today. She told me she listened, and she tells me, she goes, I have a little beef with your podcast. And I said, yeah, what's that, Mom? And she tells me, she goes, you use the word guys a lot. You always say, what's up, guys? Welcome back, guys. And I listened to your first episode of season 2, and you're talking about having a female guest, and she's coming on to talk golf and to talk fitness and to talk LPGA and everything. You need to know that your listeners are, you got to include everybody. It's not just guys. I'm your mom. I'm a lady. I'm a woman. I'm sitting here and listening to your podcast, and just something to think about. And so I kind of chuckled with her, and I said, you know what, that's cool. I've got listeners all over the place, and I gotta be all inclusive. I know golf's not just so what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast, everyone. Garrett Smith back with you guys. And anyway, just funny little story. I don't know why that comes to mind, but I enjoyed that little conversation with my mom today, and just little words of advice. I mean, I'm turning 33 in 2 weeks, and just listen to your mothers. Always listen to your mothers. Sometimes they come out with some pretty good nuggets and pretty good observations and give you some little stuff to improve upon. So that's what moms are for, among other things. But Now that I got that story told, I'm sure she's listening to this, and hopefully she gets a little chuckle out of it too. But onto the golf. And so let's start with TaylorMade this week. I think that's kind of where we started last week too. But I'm sitting here, and on the table in front of me, I've got the Sim 2 and the Sim 2 Max. And if you're a TaylorMade gamer, or even if you're not a TaylorMade gamer, I mean, you can't deny what they're, I mean, who they are, what they bring to the market as far as golf equipment goes. I mean, as we've discussed before, I mean, you got Tiger Woods, you got Rory McIlroy, you got Dustin Johnson, you got Colin Morikawa, you got Matthew Wolff, you got Tommy Fleetwood as a new addition to the TaylorMade family, and you do have a ton of female golfers as well playing TaylorMade, including Maria Fassi. And I should know more, but that's kind of where my knowledge stops. But I'll improve upon that. So this was kind of a big deal. I mean, anytime TaylorMade comes out with a new driver, they've been on top of the game in the metal wood space for a long time. I always thought that was a funny little contradiction, metal woods. So let's just say driver. They've been on top of the game in the driver space for a long time now. And anytime they bring out something new, it's exciting, it's fun, and I tell you what, they really set the benchmark high last year with Sim and Sim Max, and the Sim driver was just out of this world. And to be totally honest, it took me a long time to warm up to it. I played the M5, didn't really have a ton of success with it. I wasn't really a great driver of the golf ball with the M5. But I love the technology that it had. I love the look, the feel, the sound, all those aesthetics. And just over the course of the season, obviously, I shared with you guys, I made the switch into the M6, which I thoroughly enjoyed because it is so much easier to hit than the M5. But late season, obviously, after getting involved with TaylorMade and having access to all this equipment, I did start to, you know, it had been 12-ish months, and I'm like, I've heard nothing but just crazy good things about Sim. So let's take it out. Let's give it a shot. Let's get it on the GC quad, on the TrackMan, and let's see what this Sim is all about. And if you follow me on Instagram, I posted some photos and stuff on my page at GSmithGolf, and it blows my mind. I mean, the name of the game in 2020 was distance. High launch, low spin was huge, and the Sim absolutely delivered. Without going back in my Instagram feed right now and looking, I'd posted a picture because when I first got the TaylorMade equipment, it was still not snowing here. And so I took it out on the GC quad just outside my house and was hitting balls out into the field. And with my M6, I was getting roughly 285, 87 yards of carry on average. Somewhere in that ballpark, spinning the ball around 2,800 RPMs. And without getting too technical about it, those are fair numbers. Those are absolutely fair numbers. And without changing a darn thing besides putting the Sim head, same loft, set it just a fraction open, didn't change the sliding weight track in the front of the Sim driver, same shaft, immediately just added a stupid amount of carry. I could not believe it. The first handful of balls I hit with the Sim, I was getting like 311, 313, 315 carry. And I just was like, this is unreal. So just did some more stuff, hit it on a couple more occasions, got on the launch monitor, hit it outside, did all that good fun jazz. And at the end of the day, I'm just like, dude, the results are undeniable. I was launching it higher, right around that 15 degree launch angle, spinning it less, right around 2100, and just effortlessly, without changing a darn thing in my swing, picked up easily 15 yards of carry. So I'm anxious to put that's in the bag now. That is found a little home in my golf bag, and I'm going to take it down to Alabama and just see how she performs out on grass. And so just getting that jazzed up and that excited about what Sim had to offer, I was anxiously awaiting the launch of Sim 2. Once I kind of found out that was the direction TaylorMade was going, which we could all probably assume. Started to get some sneak peek stuff, and I gotta say, I mean, it's interesting. Very interesting. So last year, there's a couple of things immediately, right off the bat, that you'll notice looking at going from Sim to Sim 2. So last year, let's just kind of give you a quick highlight of what those technologies were. So SIM pretty much brought everything that was technology and where the industry is at into one package. They essentially took the best of easily probably the last eight models of drivers and combined it all into one super driver, I felt like, with TaylorMade SIM. SIM Max, I didn't get a whole lot of experience with. I hit it a couple of times, but that was too spinny for me, so it didn't make its way into too much further testing. But with the SIM, you're looking at twist face technology, which has been around for a couple of models now, ever since the M3 and M4 series. So twist face gives you that kind of high toe, low heel relief, changing the bulge and roll, giving you a little bit more opportunity to kind of expand where your misses are on the club face, but still keep the ball in play, get the ball in the fairway, and kind of take advantage of what bulge and roll actually, how it performs for us average golfers. So you pair twist face, then you've got speed injected twist face. So what they did with M5 and M6 was they made every club face over the legal limit and then injected it through the little two screws, the little two ports in the bottom of the club face, and kind of dialed it back to within legal limits. So you've got kind of some face manipulation. You've got a driver that is initially made illegal and then brought back to the legal standard. And then you had kind of like the best of M5 and M6 all in one package. So with M5, and even going back to the TaylorMade SLDR from a handful of years ago, I still have a buddy that plays that driver, by the way, and he hits it quite well. But with the front weight track, just kind of giving you a little opportunity to move the CG around, and they claimed up to 20 yards either direction of kind of ball flight manipulation. I didn't tinker around with it too much. I kind of dialed it into right where it felt right for me, which was just slightly fade biased, because I kind of predominantly have a little bit of a toe strike as a miss, so moving that mass a little towards the toe kind of kept that hot, and so that was good. And then they took M6. M6 was kind of the developmental product for the inertia generator, the little thing that runs off the bottom of the club face at a roughly 20 degree angle, kind of giving you a little bit of better aerodynamics with the club head through the downswing. So, I mean, it was kind of the package deal. And when you've got all that technology and you've got all of these guys that are just hitting just ridiculous bombs, sorry, mom, I said guys there, all these people hitting just these ridiculous bombs. And you're thinking, well, what? How is TaylorMade going to improve on this? And enter SIM 2. And again, I have not hit this yet, so I cannot speak to the numbers, the statistical improvements, whether increased club head speed, increased carry, lower spin. But the gist here is, it seems like whether it's TaylorMade or any other manufacturer in the space, 2021, the name of the game in the driver kind of builds is higher MOI and more forgiveness. Because I really do think, I know we've talked about this a little bit in the podcast last season, and if you follow golf again as closely as I do, there's just, I mean, the distance debate is equipment too hot? Is the ball going too far? And you know, at the end of the day, there's rules of golf, there's all these kind of regulations around equipment and what that can and cannot do and what is already deemed as too hot. And then manufacturers have kind of found different ways to make their way around some things to kind of stay within the limitations but still add distance. But I gotta think, I mean, I feel like that's coming to an end. I really do. I feel like new drivers this year, it's not about 10 extra yards, 15 extra yards. It's not about that. It's about keeping the distance gains that 2020 brought with SIM and SIM Max and then providing added forgiveness. And so what TaylorMade has done this year is they've taken this whole SIM concept, this whole shape and motion, and totally just doctored it up. And it's pretty wild. So a few observations right off the bat. Looking at the club face, no more weight ports in the front. They slid those two weight ports from the front of the face on the low toe, low heel, and dropped it one in on the side and the toe. So now they're just kind of single injection port for the speed foam. They still have the speed pocket, of course, to help with low hits, help keep ball speed up. But they've done a couple of things to the inside. They milled out the back of the face. So the inside of the club face is now milled to very specific, depth, width. So they kind of took how golfers hit, where's the golfer's miss hit, and they kind of optimized how thick the face is. That's the word I was looking for, thickness. So they milled it out to kind of optimize face thickness in different areas to help golfers kind of provide better ball speeds on off-center hits, because who doesn't hit it off-center? I know most of my shots tend to be off-center, and I gotta imagine you guys suffer some of the same challenges. But some of the other stuff, I mean, they've got this forged aluminum ring kind of on the back. And so looking at this head, it's a really kind of bizarre new construction. Four-piece construction. So you've got the club face, you've got the aluminum ring kind of around the back that kind of builds the shape of the driver, and then you have a carbon top and a carbon bottom. And so they've taken all of the material out of the top, out of the bottom of the club, and allocated it. They distributed it around the perimeter. Again, kind of, it reminds me of what they did with Spyder, the Spyder putter line. As soon as they kind of started to develop the high MOI putters, it was all about weight distribution, getting weight to the perimeter of the golf club, back further away from the face, giving you more stability, increased control, all that stuff. And I feel like that's kind of the methodology they're taking to the driver, because both of the Sim and the Sim Max, they've got the, like I said, the initial generator that M6 kind of brought, and then Sim carried on as well. But so in Sim 2, you have a 16 gram weight tucked at the very back, very bottom of the inertia generator. And Sim Max, you've got a 24 gram weight. So they're clearly pushing all this weight as far and as deep into the club head as possible. And other than that, you've got the face and that aluminum, which that aluminum is super duper light. So there's not a whole lot of weight there. And then one thing that you very quickly notice is that they've removed any sliding weights. So it doesn't matter. The Sim 2, which replaces the Sim, which replaced the M5, which replaced the M3, which replaced the M1, and then the M1, and on and on. I feel like the sliding weight track, movable weight technology, has been around for so long, and it just blows my mind. It was fascinating to see it gone. But what they've kind of done here is they've taken these movable weights, and I think they just kind of found that, hey, guys are getting fit. Guys are getting a better understanding of what they need out of a driver, where that weight distribution, where it needs to be. And it's kind of become a set it and forget it mentality. And I think with that kind of in mind, I truly believe that they just said, hey, let's figure out, instead of building in this weight track, which you kind of have to take into consideration when you're developing it, aerodynamics and all that stuff, and just kind of how the build process goes. So if they wanted to go to this full carbon sole, you really don't have a lot of room and a real opportunity to do a movable weight. So what they did is they took the weight that would normally be movable and they made it stationary. And not just stationary, but they optimized it as far as location goes. So where can we put this weight? How much weight can we use? And where are we going to give golfers the best possible launch conditions and best possible weight distribution within the head? So the Sim has the high MOI, low spin weight, relatively center, kind of, if you were to kind of go angular from that that little weight on the back of the inertia generator, it's pretty well in line. The Sim 2 Max, again, same weight, but they just bring it a little closer towards the heel, just marginally, not a ton. So I would not classify this as draw biased by any stretch, but maybe draw friendly. Perhaps. And then they have the Sim 2 Max D, which is the super draw bias version, and that weight is very, very much down the heel. If you're picturing a driver, if you're holding one and thinking about it right now, it's right down near where they've got the loft stamped on the head. So they're just doing some cool new things here, and I'm anxious to, I'm wishing there wasn't snow on the ground. I could hit these into a simulator. Funny, let's hit the Sim into a simulator. But anyway, I could get this on the GC Quad, on the TrackMan, and get some numbers. I'm hoping to do that later this week or into the weekend. But we'll see. We'll see. And then I can report back. I can kind of give you guys the gist of what's good. But unfortunately, my clubs, my entire bag of clubs, is in the back of a vehicle on its way to Hilton Head right now. I've always been anxious about flying with golf clubs. So my buddy, who I'm going to Alabama with, him and his wife are heading down to Hilton Head for a couple of weeks before heading to Florida, where I will meet up with them in the second week of February. But I've never been a huge fan of, I mean, you never know when your clubs are going to get lost or if something's going to break. And I'm paranoid about that kind of stuff. So knowing that I got to fly into Orlando, land at 10:30, jump in a car and take on a 5-hour drive to make a 4 o'clock tee time. My buddy had room in the vehicle. So he just said, hey, I'll take them. And that's no stress for me, 'cause then I take a carry on. I don't have to wait for a bag. I don't have to worry about my golf clubs, all that. And it's just a less stressful travel experience. But so I'm not going to have my sim. I'm not going to have my shaft. I'm not going to have all that stuff to really give a true, full, accurate comparison. But I still have a pretty good idea of what's going on. So I can take a look at this. I can see what the numbers are and then report back. But other noteworthy things, which I was a little surprised in, but not entirely surprised with, kind of the high MOI forgiveness approach to the driver this year. Last year, maybe you paid attention and close enough, maybe you didn't, but Sim had the progressive face kind of concept. So the regular Sim had kind of a more of a low profile face. And then as you got into Sim Max, it got a little deeper. And then the Sim Max D got a little deeper still. I don't know that that was beneficial for most guys. So I think they kind of deviated away from that. But either way, it's just, again, all the general gist of this is maintaining everything that was good about Sim and Sim Max, all the distance gains, all the launch condition gains that they had to offer, and they're just adding forgiveness. And who doesn't want that? Because as much as golf is about hitting bombs, it doesn't much matter if you're hitting bombs into the next fairway over or into the pond or the ocean or the woods or out of bounds, because you got to keep it in the short grass. Keep it in the short grass. Get it on the green. Make your putts. So unless you're a long drive champ or an aspiring long drive champion, you got to keep it tight. So I appreciate what they're doing. I appreciate the added stability and the improved dispersion. And one of the other things that they are doing is they do have a couple of cool new shaft options for this year that come stock. So with the Sim, you're looking at the Mitsubishi Tensei AV Raw shaft, which is pretty slick. I've checked it out and it's a nice looking shaft, and I've been a Diamana fan for a long time. So going from Diamana to Tensei, played the Tensei white for a while, loved it, and looking forward to seeing what this AV Raw version has. And the other option in the Sim is stock is the Project X Hazardous Smoke RDX, which is brand new, and I've heard nothing but good things about that. So pretty stoked to try that one out. And if you're a Sim Max player and looking to check that out, you've still got the Ventus Blue, which has been huge on tour. The Ventus Blue, the Ventus Black, the Ventus Red. Fujikura has just kind of taken the shaft world by storm with this one. So many of the top players in the world are playing this shaft model. But if you're not interested in Ventus, you've always got the Mitsubishi Kurokagi Silver, which is what Rory has had in the bag for a long, long time. Obviously, they just continue to come out with new renditions, new materials, kind of new product development. So that was another favorite of mine before I went to Ventus. So I went from the Mitsubishi Tensei White. For a short moment, I owned and used a Kurokagi shaft, the silver as well. Older model one, so not the newest, latest, and greatest by any means, but it was just a shaft that I always enjoyed. So it was fun to get that back and put that in the M6. And it definitely, for me, a little too mid-launch, kind of mid-spin. So I definitely wasn't optimizing distance gains, but I did drive it very accurately with that shaft. And so it's still sitting here in the corner of my room. So if things go south, you know, it's always there. I'll pick it back up and hit more fairways. But that's enough Sim. I mean, I just burned 20 minutes on TaylorMade. So as much as I'm enjoying this, it's kind of becoming part of my life and part of what I get to share with you guys. Let's move on, shall we? What was the other topic we were going to cover? We were going to cover the Sim. We were going to cover, Tiger. Yeah, Tiger Woods, guys. What the heck? I mean, I tell you, I'm surprised. And when I read and first saw the breaking news, I was shocked. And then I was just like, you know what? It's just this dude's biannual back surgery. That's what it's becoming now. I mean, it's every other year, every third year, guy goes under the knife, gets a little something doctored up, relieves some pain, and then goes through recovery, and then
My guess is, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but first initial thoughts are 2021 is going to be again a rebuilding year, and then 2022 we might see a pretty darn good tiger. Who knows? But maybe I'm wrong. It was just a microdiscectomy, and I say just a microdiscectomy, but I don't know. I if you're Tiger Woods and you're getting the best surgeons in the world, he's probably going to the same exact surgeon that he's gone to for every other back operation he's ever had. They know what they're doing. They know who they're working with, and it sounds like the surgery was a success. Surgery was a success. Let's enunciate. And I mean, he's got to skip a couple of events, which I'm super bummed about. I love watching Tiger at Torrey Pines. The Farmers Insurance Open, where he traditionally debuts every single season, is one of my favorite events. And so I'm bummed and disappointed and sad that I'm not going to be able to see Tiger teed up there. I'm not all that disappointed that he's missing the Genesis Open, because I think he's, I don't know, he's just, it's not his course. Riviera is a tough track for him. He's proven that, and he's not played well there, I don't think, ever. So not hugely disappointed to not see him play there, but at the same time, I would love to see him play there, because I think that's one of the chips on Tiger's shoulder at this stage, is he's thinking, this is what, probably, I think this is the only golf course that he's ever played and not won on, or something like that. Something ridiculous outside of probably a couple of the major championship rotation venues. But I mean, Riviera, he's been playing there since he was a stinking 17-year-old junior golfer. And it's like, you think, gosh, man. And what blows my mind is I don't feel like that course is that big of a stretch from something that could really fit his game. So it's always blown my mind how he has not been able to kind of put it together and get it done there. But I mean, it's Tiger. He does this. He goes under the knife. Like I said, he gets fixed and he comes back swinging. And so obviously he made some comments saying that he's working hard to get through recovery and get back on tour. He's still got his goals and he still wants to play well. But I don't know. I really was kind of surprised, because 2020 was such a down year. I mean, the dude played in what, like six events, maybe seven. I don't even think it was seven, but didn't play that often. Had a hugely long break, so he had the off season that he always gives himself during the winter months. Then COVID hit, and he didn't play in Mexico. He didn't play, obviously, the Players Championship. He was kind of wrestling with some things there physically. And then came back, played a few times, didn't really do much, but then played with his son Charlie in December at the PNC, and that was fun to watch. I don't really remember seeing anything that kind of threw any red flags. Just thinking, oh man, he looks a little stiff, looks a little in pain, looks like he's dealing with some stuff. But if you're a Tiger fan, you follow the guy, that's kind of what he does. He's not really doesn't really wear that stuff on his sleeve. He kind of keeps it close to the chest. And goes, gets his stuff taken care of, and then comes back better, stronger, all that stuff. So we'll see. Optimistic about the comeback, but we'll wait and see. We'll look forward to when that time comes. But this week, however, on the PGA Tour, the American Express, in La Quinta, California, this is a fun event of one that I'm looking forward to, because I tell you what, I told you guys before that I was so excited. I love Hawaii. And watching the guys play at Waialae and the Sony Open. I love them playing Kapalua the week before. And that 2 week stretch of primetime golf in Hawaii is just so beautiful and so fun to watch. And I don't know. I mean, call me whatever you want for this, but like, I don't have cable. I don't get cable. I don't, it's something that my wife and I, when we moved back here to Michigan and kind of settled in, I was like, we didn't need it. We didn't really need it, didn't want it. So I don't get the Golf Channel. It's my only beef. And I'm sure there are plenty of alternatives this day and age, whether it's YouTube TV or countless of the other TV subscription services to get the Golf Channel. But sometimes I try to bum my mom and dad's Charter login. Hopefully nobody from Charter is listening. But I try and bum their login so I can just jump on and stream Golf Channel stuff. And it used to work until Charter removed the Golf Channel from their cable package. And I couldn't get them to justify an upgrade for one channel, so I totally get that. And I, you know, I, so I'm a PGA Tour Live subscriber, so I love that. I love what PGA Tour Live has to offer with early round coverage, featured groups, everything there. But they don't do Hawaii. So I was like, shoot, I've been talking about this. I've been talking about these events, talking about how much I love watching them. And now I'm getting burned and I can't even watch because nobody I know gets the Golf Channel. And that's just how it is. So I don't know. But this week, the American Express, now that we're back on the mainland for the PGA Tour out in La Quinta, California, like I mentioned, PGA Tour Live is back. So I'm pretty stoked to tune into that. And they've got a strong field. I mean, John Rahm, new Callaway equipment in the bag. Still anxious to see how that goes as he transitions away from TaylorMade and into Callaway. Brooks Koepka, BK, my boy. Excited to see how he tees it up. I mean, gosh, I love this dude. So I was watching his kind of like couple of his press comments today, and it cracks me up. So he hasn't played well by any stretch for recent time. And just looking forward to getting back out there, of course, looking forward to getting competitive again, new season. He feels good. Body feels good. And one of the guys asked him, I said, what's your goal this week? And Brooks Koepka, of course, says, hey, I'm here to win, even though I hear T20 doesn't pay that bad. And I thought that was funny because if you follow golf again like I do, Kevin Kisner, last week, I think it was, I can't remember, within the last week or so, one of the guys asked Kevin Kisner if he thinks, they were talking about whether or not he thinks he can win anywhere. And he goes, no, I know I can't win anywhere. And so then the guy followed up with, well, why do you show up? And Kevin Kisner, in typical Kisner fashion, responds with, because T20 pays pretty well. And that's what he does. I mean, Kiz is great. Kiz is bomb. He's a cool dude. I love following him on social media. He's funny as all get out, and he's just got a great attitude towards the game. He knows that he's a small dude. He knows he's not hitting bombs. He's not keeping up with McIlroy or DJ or Brooks or any of those guys. But he's going to plod along. He's going to put the ball in the fairway, put the ball in the green, and if his putter gets hot, he's going to have a good week, finish top 10. And if the course is right, maybe you have a chance to win. But if it's not, he's just going to cruise to that top 20 finish and collect a really nice paycheck. But that's not what Brooks Koepka is all about. And just anxious to see how he performs this week. He's not my pick to win, but I would be excited to see him contend. This week, you know, without having a whole lot of info yet, I haven't really looked at who's playing, who's not playing, things like that, but I love Matthew Wolff. I mean, you guys know that. I've talked about Wolff for a while. He's my guy. I love seeing him. I love his swing. I love his charisma, and he's playing this week, and I think it's a good week for him. California kid. I mean, he's really kind of in a bomber's paradise. He can just go out and unleash, and if the rest of his game follows suit, I think he's going to be right there. And so I would love to see him get the W. Other notables that might kind of try to get it done, Kevin Na, who just won last week at Sony. He's in the field. Always tough to go back-to-back. Patrick Cantlay, who's just kind of been a kind of a mainstay towards the top of the leaderboard in recent time. Gosh, who else? Scottie Scheffler's been pretty hot, and that's probably an understatement. He's been playing really, really well. Patrick Reed, love him or hate him, he's teeing it up this week, and his game has been good. So, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be a fun week to watch, and I always love kind of when they kick off this California swing. I love all golf, you guys. I mean, who am I kidding? I love Hawaii. I love California. I love when the guys get to Florida. So, it's just, you guys know. You guys know how it is, so. Looking forward to that. And so, yeah, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Matthew Wolff, he's my boy. If you're playing fantasy golf, I'd recommend putting him on your roster. I think he's a strong pick. So I'm not a huge fantasy golf guy, but there's that. And other exciting stuff this week, as I kind of mentioned last week, upcoming guests on the podcast, pretty excited. Because this goes live on Wednesday, I'll be recording. So this end of this week, I'll be recording a podcast episode with Brittany Gilo, who I'd mentioned, LPGA instructor over here on the west side of the state. She works, kind of does her operation up at Stonegate, does a lot of teaching. She's a certified cardio golf instructor. So we're going to have her on the podcast And we're going to be talking a ton of stuff. I mean, she was a standout collegiate player at Hope College, LPGA instructor, like I mentioned, cardio golf instructor, and she's got her own operation. She's trying to build her business, and she's doing a really, really great job. And so I'm super excited to get her on the podcast and share it with you, because we're still in the off season. From what I've seen, Brittany's shared some cardio golf stuff with me. I think it's going to be a really cool program for a lot of people to check out. It's going to help you with your golf swing without actually working on your golf swing. So you're going to have a lot of opportunity to focus on a lot of the stuff that I have come to find is super important, and something that I kind of put on the back burner for a long time, and that is mobility, specifically hip mobility and spine mobility. So Brittany's going to be talking a lot about that, because I've always kind of tried to find a balance. For a long time, I was very strength training focused. Then I tried to transition into primarily yoga. And then I felt like I lost a little bit of kind of control of my body a little bit. I felt like I wasn't really sure where my arms were. I wasn't sure where my hands were. I wasn't sure where my rotation was. And so I'm trying to find that balance right now myself of being just the right amount of limber with just the right amount of tight, I guess, strength, muscular structure. But it's kind of working for me so far. But I'm super excited to kind of hear what Brittany has to say, because I've done what I do, and I know that it works for me, but I'm always open to learning and just checking out new things. So super excited to get her on the podcast. I kind of promoted it just a slight bit so far on Instagram. So if you follow me there at GSmithGolf, that's where you're going to get most of the content that I kind of push out related to this podcast. But if you don't, I mean, go check it out. I appreciate the listenership on the podcast. Give me a follow on Instagram, because again, you're going to get a lot more that goes kind of above and beyond what me talking into a microphone has to offer. And that's another reason I'm excited, because like I said, I've said this before. I mean, as much as I'm sure most of you guys like listening to me, I know my mom loves listening to me on this podcast, so I'm super thankful for that. But I always loved having guests. So Brittany's going to be back. She's going to be on here in the coming weeks. I had a quick conversation with another couple of buddies that are going to dial in and give me and you guys, oh man, a unique golf podcasting experience in the coming weeks. I don't know if I'll get that out before the end of this month. It might be sometime in mid-February. But yeah, so I mean, anyway, and you guys have been awesome. Last week, I kind of kicked it out there, shot you guys kind of, I said, hey, new intro, let me know what you think. I had a few people reach out to me on Instagram saying, hey, podcast sounds good. Nice launch for season two. I mean, super cool stuff. So I appreciate the engagement. I don't do this just to pace around a room and talk to myself for your listening pleasure. So anytime you guys jump on Instagram, I do have Facebook, like I said, but I don't really do a ton on there. So disregard that comment. But anyway, that's kind of it for today. Give you guys a little update. Circling back real quick to TaylorMade again, I'm going to be at Golf Galaxy this weekend from 12 to 4, 11 to 3, 12 to 4, sometime in that window. So if you're in the area, it's cold, it's snowy, you want to see what TaylorMade's bringing to market this year, get your hands on it, take a look at it, maybe hit some shots, come hang out, come say hi, come see what we're doing, because it's going to be my first event. I've been studying the product, learning all that stuff, but it's easy to learn with stuff that you love. So I'll share some more knowledge with you guys then. But until next time, thanks for tuning in the Michigan Golf Podcast, everybody. It's cold, it's snowy out there. I'm watching cars drive by. They're going awfully slow. So these next couple of days, I think it's going to be a little wintry for my liking. So stay warm, stay safe, everyone, and we'll catch y'all next week.